Right. And we are in Micah, still in Micah, chapter 3. Micah chapter 3. We made it to verse 5, and verse 5 through 12, we're going to look at the condemnation of Israel's religious leadership. The condemnation of Israel's religious leadership. So let's read verse 5, and then we'll go on from there. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace, and be that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this morning, this wonderful Lord's Day, where we can be back in your house and come together and corporately worship you. Father, we're thankful for this trip through Micah, and we just pray, Father, that we are learning some things, that we're seeing some things, and Father, it's interesting to see that there's always been false teachers, false prophets. There's always been the things that we see so prevalent today. They're always been out there. It's just more in our face these days, it seems. And so, Father, I just pray that you would guide us and direct us through this, that we would learn some truths of your word that we'd apply to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have the prophets. They get to hear their charge too and their doom. They were such as prophesied falsely, and the princes bore rule by their means. The prophets responsible to warn of judgments, the judgments of God. They're supposed to be warning people. They're supposed to be telling people. Twisted to please the people with false messages of peace for the guilty. That's where we see a lot of where people don't want to hear the truth today. They want to hear all the lies, right? They're flocking to lies today. They would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. And it's amazing how it doesn't matter what it is. And then you've got people who profess to be men of God who tell the people what they want to hear instead of what the Word of God says. And we had an interesting time yesterday with someone that we were speaking with, and I said, that's exactly what it is. I don't necessarily preach what you want to hear. If you like what you hear, then maybe it's because you're right with God. But if you don't like what you hear, and it's from the Word of God, it's not my fault. Is I get to preach what God tells me to preach, and I get to teach what God tells me to teach, and if you don't like it, maybe you need to get right with God. And so sometimes people take what's preached and all or taught, and they look at their life and they don't like it because it doesn't line up with what they're doing. Well, if your life doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not God that's going to change. It's you that needs to change. Now, can we make our own choice and decide not to? Of course. Of course we can. Why do you think God sends His chastisement, His punishments, is because we do things our way. God has to correct to get us back on track. And it's no different back here in the days of Micah as it is today. Same things are going on. People want their ears tickled. People want to hear what they want to hear. And of course, you have some people that will preach what they think the people want to hear because they're doing it for filthy lucre instead of for pleasing God. If you're called of God to preach the Word of God, you need to preach the Word of God, not preach what the people want, because you're looking at seeing how much you can get paid to do it. It's not about that. So these false messengers preaching peace for the guilty, they would have no answer from God when judgment fell. Notice the warning against false prophets who claim revelations when God has not spoken. It's interesting how a lot of times people say, "Thus saith the Lord," and God didn't say it. God wasn't in it at all, in fact. And if people are saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and it's not in the Word of God, we need to question that, and we need to flee from it, because we shouldn't be involved in it. If God didn't say it, let's not give God credit for it. So, verse 5 again, "Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry, Peace, and he that putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him." He attacks these false prophets, as before he attacked the princes that we saw. What was their sin? They made it their business to flatter and deceive the people. Right? They're flattering and deceiving the people with lies, and they make the people to err. They make the people, in fact, they lead them into doing things that they shouldn't do, both concerning what they should do and concerning what God would do with them. It is ill with the people when their leaders cause them to err. You follow the leadership and it causes you to err, right? We've got leadership just like they did. We have leadership that's corrupt. Shouldn't surprise anyone, right, that leadership is corrupt. That's why they want the power. It keeps corrupt. They have corruption. They want to keep with their corruption. They want to keep doing their evil, wicked deeds. And so they want more and more power. And we've seen that. I mean, if you haven't been seeing it in the last year plus, that they want more and more power and more and more power, and they're doing everything that's evil and wicked and corrupt, then you're not watching. You're not seeing with your eyes. You're not hearing with your ears. And I had a conversation with one, and if he didn't hear it, if he didn't see it, it didn't happen. I'm sorry, I can't be everywhere in the world. I can't hear everything that's going on. But when I hear something, I want to immediately go and research it to find out if it's true, right? Because there's so much lies in the world today that there could be all kinds of stuff out there. So research and find out. Make sure what you're hearing is the truth, but don't just discard it because you yourself didn't personally hear it or see it happen. It could still be true, but find out if it is for sure before you just go expecting that it is. But again, don't discount it as not being true just because you weren't physically there when it happened. We can't be everywhere. These people should have been guiding them in the truth, and yet they are guiding them in error, giving them error instead of truth. I get to give an account to God, as well as anyone else who stands before people and teaches or preaches the Word of God. We give an account before God if we are not teaching or preaching what the Word of God says. A couple of us were accused of it just being our opinion when we do this. It better not be just our opinion. It better be the Word of God. When it's our opinion, we should explain that this is my opinion. You know, there are some things in the Word of God that don't give us exact clarity as to what truly happened. But we can have enough of the Word of God in us that we can say, this is my best guess as to what took place. God doesn't tell us everything, right? If anybody here thinks that this contains everything that God knows, you're sadly mistaken. It does contain everything that God wants us to know. There's some things that aren't in here that we could just spend all day questioning, right? Or we can just take by faith that God gave us what we need to know, and we don't need to know some things. So if it's opinion, we need to tell people it's opinion. These guys are out there saying, "Thus saith the Lord," when it wasn't anything that God said at all. Trying to mislead the people. They should have been guiding them in the right ways, and yet they were turning them to error. They make them err by crying peace, by telling them that what they're doing is good. We live in a day and age where good is bad and bad is good. And I mean, it's so confusing anymore. How do you know what's right and what's wrong? Because we've got even our elected officials are doing wrong and calling it right. Oh, it's amazing to me. You see these people all the time, and they're elected officials or they're appointed, and they're to uphold the law, and they themselves break the law and don't think that they should be held accountable. Well, you are saying that we all have to abide by the law, but you don't have to. And we saw that a lot last year, right? And it wasn't necessarily law, it was mandates, right, from the government officials, but they broke the very mandates that they put in place and said that we would go to jail if we didn't abide by them. Same thing is going on. Telling people one thing and doing another. And then there's a lot of people out there blaming God for what's going on. It's not God's fault that we have COVID-19. I believe wholeheartedly God allowed it to happen. But it's because of sin. And it's not God's sin, because God can't sin. It's man's sin. And we have to understand that there's certain things that we need to do and certain things we need to not do. And so here they are. They're leading them in the paths of sin where they're going to be steeped in ruin. And yet they cry, peace, peace. When they cried peace, their own hearts gave them the lie. And they were ready to contradict. They go totally against the Word of God, contradicting God's Word to get people to follow them and do what they want. How do you get people to follow you? You get them to agree with you. How do you get people to agree with you? Tell them what they want to hear. How many elected officials stand before people and tell them exactly what they think you want to hear and then do exactly opposite? Now, I like the fact that we have had some elected officials that told you what they were going to do and that's what they set out to do. We have a current administration that told you exactly what he was going to do, and he's doing it. He's doing it. He's doing exactly what he told people he was going to do. He was going to raise taxes. Yeah. He was going to get rid of our energy independence. He was going to get rid of all those things. He was going to open the borders. He was going to do all of that. And now he's doing it, and people go, why is he doing this? Because he said he would. Right? I mean, you have to at least give him credit for doing what he said he was going to do. It's not like it's a surprise. But here we think it's a surprise. Here, these people got what they wanted from the prophets, right? The false teachers, those. But they didn't get what they wanted from God. Because God's not going to honor that. God's not going to honor that. They were not blind leaders of the blind because they saw what was going to happen, they knew what was going to happen, and they led their followers into it anyway. They willingly led them into it. That'd be like for me to know the Word of God and to come up and teach you what I think you want to hear so it'll tickle your ears. I know what's the impending danger because I know what the Word of God says. But I lead you there anyway. Who's to blame? I am. Because I'm the one supposed to be leading you in the right way. So it's my fault. Now, I'm going to add to that, it's also your fault because you're supposed to study to know the difference. Right? 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us we're supposed to study. We're supposed to. So, yes, it's my fault for leading you astray, but it's your fault for following. You're supposed to know what the Word of God says. So you know the difference between what's right and what's wrong. They wanted to fill themselves. They wanted to fill their own bellies as the seducers that we see in Paul's time. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 18, Romans 16:18, it says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Their God is their belly. That's what that's telling us. Their God is their belly. That's what they're after. They're trying to feed them own, their own self. They don't care about the people. They don't care about God. They just care about them. It's not about us. It's about God. God has to come first. And yet, it doesn't happen that way. Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. See, yesterday when we have a conversation, I was saying, if we get our minds, our eyes and our minds focused on God, this other stuff isn't going to matter. These earthly things aren't going to matter. Now, do we like the earthly things? I like a nice building to come to. I like heat. I really like air conditioning. I like lights. I like some of the things that God allows us to. I like a vehicle to get me to and from. I like decent clothes to wear. I like these things. But when our focus puts those things above God, we have a problem. And that's what they're doing. They're putting all these things that could fill their own lusts before God. And that's not what's supposed to happen. They're crying peace and they're flattering with compliments those that will feed them with good things to eat and put in their mouths continually stuff. So they're constantly keeping them fed, constantly giving them the things that they want. But here they are, doing exactly opposite of what God said. They're doing it because they're greedy of filthy lucre. They're not doing it to please God. They're doing it to please man. They're doing it to feed their own bellies. They're doing it for their own gain. We can be accused of a lot of things, and I was accused of going out and trying to win people to the Lord, knocking doors and all, because I got something out of it. What do I get out of that? Satisfaction in knowing I'm doing what God told me to do. But what do I get out of, and some of it's, you know, one time it was 20 degrees outside and I'm freezing to death, and they're accusing me of doing this for some gain that I'm going to get. I don't get any gain out of that, right? I mean, I get to know that there's people that possibly might go to heaven because of it, but I don't bring them to heaven. God does. I just point them the way. I just point them to Jesus, and then God does the rest. But I'm not doing it for that. And honestly, if you're out in 20-degree weather, it's not because you're trying to stay healthy, right? You're out there freezing to death, knocking on doors, trying to share with people. And I found that over time that all that did was irritate a lot of people, letting all their heat out of their house when you knock on the door and they open it in the middle of winter and they've got somebody that they don't want to talk to. So all that was doing was turning a lot of people off. But there's all kinds of people who think you're doing it for some great gain when that's not what it's about. It's about doing what God told us to do. It's about being faithful to Him because of what He has done for us, not because we want something out of it. No, the blessings of God are a benefit, right? How about the curses of God? Yeah, if we do what we're supposed to do, we're going to get the blessings of God. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, we get chastisement, right? Yeah, till it hurts too much, and then maybe we'll correct. In 1 Timothy 3:3, it says, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Titus says in Titus 1:7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Over and over and over we see this filthy lucre. It's money. It's gain for themselves. That's what they want. And many of them are that way. And it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. It should be about serving God. Then Micah verses 6 and 7 of chapter 3 says, therefore night shall be unto you, that ye shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. So the sentence passed over them for their sin. God threatened them that they will be involved in troubles and miseries with those to whom they had cried peace. Night's coming upon them. Dark is going to be. Cold night. Calamity. All of this is going to come because of their flattery. It led the people to hope. And this hope that would never come, right? Tell people. That's why I have a problem with preachers that tell you, get saved and life becomes easy street. Has anybody experienced that, that's gotten saved? I mean, did life just all of a sudden become easy street? Now, I will say it's easier going through trials and stuff with God than it is without, but did everything become easy? I didn't see it become easy. In fact, the more you serve God, the more Satan is attacking you. So I don't see it as easy, and I just be upfront and honest with people. It's not going to be easy. God never said it would be easy. He said we're going to have trials and tribulations, right? We're going to be persecuted. Boy, that sounds like easy street, doesn't it? So where do they get this? So they're out there promoting something that God never said. And they're leading people in the wrong ways. Well, they're all going to be in misery when they find out that's not the way it is. It shall be dark unto you, he's saying to these false teachers and prophets, darker to you than others. The sun shall go down over the prophets, shall go down at noon. All comfort shall depart from them, and they shall be deprived of all hope. Why? Because they're doing exactly what God told them not to do. You're supposed to preach the word, teach the word. Not lies, not deceits. No, leave that to the politicians, right? The people of God should be truthful and honest. I tell you, it drives me crazy when God's people act like lost people. They lie and don't think there's anything wrong with it. You think God, who cannot lie, is thrilled when his ambassadors are out lying to people? It doesn't make sense. The God who cannot lie, and by the way, who said Satan is a liar and the father of it, right? Father of lies. So why, if we're lying, who are we following? Satan's the father of lies, so we're following him instead of God. God who cannot lie, we shouldn't be lying. We should be truthful. People say, well, what if the truth would hurt them? I don't know about you, but I like the truth because at least I know what I'm dealing with. Lies, I have no idea. And I don't know if I can trust that person again once I know they've lied to me. But the truth, I know what I have, and I know what I have to do to correct those issues if I have the truth. It's pretty simple. Here they're going to be in confusion. God's going to judge them for what they've done. They keep others in darkness, and now God will bring them into the dark. They shall be silenced in all their pretensions to prophesy, forever shamed. Eventually, the Bible tells us, be sure your sins will find you out. They're going to know, eventually, that they've been lied to. The people will know they've been lied to. They've been, you know, fed a bill of goods that isn't there, right? We're going to know. Over and over and over we've seen we've been lied to. How much trust do you have today in our government? How much trust do you have today in our election system? How much trust do you have today in our medical fields? If you've been around the last year, over and over and over, and when they actually come out and tell us they've lied to us, and then justify their lies with a reason for doing it, there is no justification for lying. There's none. Well, he didn't want to hurt their feelings. Don't go there. God sees a lie as a lie. He doesn't see it as a lie that you used to keep somebody's feelings from getting hurt. That's wrong. Just be truthful. They weren't truthful, and God judged them for it. We need to be careful that we're truthful, or God will judge us for it. So he silenced them, and they're forever shamed. There was no answer of God to them, but it was all a sham, and they were cheats and imposters, saying one thing, but doing another. Their reputation being brought low, their confidence would, of course, fail them, and their spirits being ruffled and confused, their invention would fail them too. And by reason of this darkness, both without and within too, they shall not divine, they shall not have so much as a counterfeit vision to produce, they shall be ashamed and confounded, and cover their lips as men that are quite baffled and have nothing to save for themselves. What are we going to do when we stand before God one day and he asks us to give an account? Are we going to be able to, we're not going to say anything, stand before God and say, well, I did this sin because, we're not going to do that. We're not going to have an answer for why we didn't do what God told us to do. We're not going to have an answer for leading people astray. We're not going to have an answer for those things because there is no answer. We chose to do wrong. That's the answer. We chose, God gave us a way not to, and we chose to do the wrong. That free will thing messes us up all the time, doesn't it? Be different if God says, you're going to act this way on this day at this time, and on this day at this time you're going to act this way, and you're going to say this at this day on this time, and what would we be? A bunch of robots that don't follow God because we want to, and because we love him, but because we have to. Can you imagine serving God because you had to and not because you wanted to? I have to tell you, it's so much easier when you just do it willingly because you love him. You know? We all have had parents that we wanted to please, right? So why don't we want to please our Heavenly Father? Good question, right? Especially when parents, for those of you who are still living with your parents, don't listen to this. Parents don't see everything, right? They don't see everything. They can't be everywhere. But we have a Heavenly Father that sees everything and can be everywhere. How much more should we want to please him than our earthly parents? That we might get away with something. I was convinced growing up my mother knew everything. I never knew how she knew everything, but I was convinced she knew everything. She saw everything, she did, you know. But that's not the way it works. But God does. God does. And so we need to get the idea that we want to please him, we want to live for him, because we love him. And we want to do what's right. And then, what benefit do we have from deceiving people other than whatever we can gain in this world from them? Eventually they're going to find out, and then all that's going to be dried up anyway, right? I mean, eventually people are going to find out that they've been deceived and they're going to turn from following you. It's going to happen eventually. So there, those who deceive others are preparing confusion their own faces. Micah was anointed with the power of the Spirit to rebuke the people for their sin in verse 8 of Micah 3. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. It's not always great to be the bearer of bad news, right? Come running in with bad news. By the way, you guys are sinners. Yes, and guess what the punishment of sin is? Yes, that would be death and eternal separation from God for all eternity. Wow, everybody happy now? I mean, it's not great news, is it? But we do have good news. We do have the good news. And the good news is, even though that's where you're headed, You can change that by accepting the free gift of eternal life, by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Repent of your sin, turn from that, and follow Jesus. Allow Him to take residence up in your life. Allow Him to live through you. By the way, when we allow Him to live through us, things go a lot better. Still not trouble-free, still not, you know, tribulation-free, still not, we still get to go through things, but it's a whole lot easier with Him. You know, we want Him driving the car. We want Him driving the plane. We want Him driving the boat. We want Him as the engineer in the train, right? We want Him to be the one that we're going with. I don't care which analogy you use, we want Him to be the leader and we want to be following. That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. So, they shall be involved in troubles and miseries with those to whom they had cried peace. Those that they cried peace, they're going to be in those troubles. They're going to be in those calamities. They're going to be going through all of that. The prophet experiences a divine power going along with them in this, in his work, and he makes a solemn profession of it as that which would justify him and bear him out in his plain dealing with the princes and the rulers. He would not be this bold with these great men except that he was impressed by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God has to be the one that we're trusting and we're relying on, and he's giving us the ability to do the things that we do. And when we have a message that's not the easiest to preach, it's good that we have the Holy Spirit to help us get through those. I mean, it's not easy preaching a message when you know the people aren't going to be receptive to it because they don't want to hear it, right? It's not easy to preach those ones. It's really easy to preach God is love. That's an easy message to preach. It's not easy to preach you're sinners and going to hell. That's not so easy to preach. I do like the end of that story, though, but there is an opportunity for the good news. But it's not easy to preach the stuff that says God is judging. He is the just judge. And you will stand before Him one day. Do you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or do you want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you? Which do we want to hear? And I certainly don't want to hear slothful, lazy. As some people have heard, good for nothing, right? Not saying from God, but some people have been told they're good for nothing. Do you want to hear those things? No. We want to hear good and faithful, right? And it's God. God has given Micah the words to preach. God has put in him the ability. I tell you, every single week before I come up and teach through this stuff or I preach, I ask God to give me the words, that God would fill me with, that God would give me boldness. I can't do it on my own. And if you're truthful, you couldn't either. We got to have God. And so thank God he was with Micah and giving him this stuff and giving him the boldness and putting in his mouth the things to say, because that's what he needs. False prophets, full of shame when they lived to see themselves proved liars and never had courage to deal faithfully with the people, but flattered them with their sins. They were sensual, not having the Spirit, but truly, says Micah, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Micah, instead of being a false teacher, he gave them the truth. Because God gave it to him to give to them. And Micah was willing, no matter what the people thought, to deliver the right message. And we need to have that same assurance that if we're delivering the right message, God's going to honor that. God's going to bless that. When the Word of God goes out, it's God that uses the Holy Spirit to penetrate hearts and to convict and all that. But if we're giving out false teachings, like so many are doing these days, everyone goes to heaven. Here's one of my favorites that I just cringe at every time I hear it. We all worship the same God, we just do it different ways. No, we don't. That's a bold-faced lie straight from Satan himself. We do not all worship the same God. Prayerfully, everybody here does, but I'm telling you that when you go out to the other religions, Buddha is not the same God. Muhammad is not the same God. Allah is not the same God. They're just not. And I don't care who they are, Joseph Smith, whoever they're following, they're not the same God. There's only one true God. And it's God of the Bible. We need to understand that. We need to follow him no matter what. But Micah was full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord, so he could. Having in himself an assurance of the truth of what he said it with assurance. Compare him with those false prophets, and you will say, there is no comparison between them. What is the chaff to the wheat? In Jeremiah 23:28, it says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? There's a difference between what the Word of God says and what false prophets are teaching. There's a huge difference. And if we are in the Word daily, we're going to know. We're going to know the difference. We're going to be able to hear the difference. I can automatically pick up something, I start flipping through it, and I see some of their verses that they use. I go, it's not King James. Throw that one out. This one's not King James. Throw that one out. What do? I tell people, if you've got something, I don't care if it's a devotion or a book that you're reading or something, don't take for granted that the scriptures that are in there are King James. Just automatically pick up your King James and read it from the King James. Then you know you're getting the truth. These people that are going through, throwing out, Satan is using everything he can to attack the church, to attack the family unit, to attack our young people, to get them to go astray. He's doing everything he can. He's using false prophets, false teachers. He's using false preachers in pulpits all over to give out false teachings to lead people astray. We need people like Micah, who's willing to be led by the Holy Spirit of God to preach and teach the truth. That's what it's about. And then follow God and let God. Let God get all the glory and honor and praise. So what the qualifications were with which this prophet was endured, he was full of power and of judgment and of might. He had an ardent love to God and to the souls of men, a deep concern for his glory and their salvation, and a flaming zeal against sin. That should be in each one of us. We should have these same things. We should abhor sin, not embrace it, not get aligned with people who are involved in it, but abhor it. We should have a zeal against this sin. We should have a deep concern for the souls of men. We should be concerned. Every person that we see, no matter where we're at, is a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. We should have a deep concern for them people, for those souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere. Prayerfully, they'll spend it with God. But according to the Word of God, there's going to be many that aren't. Many. Because the few are the ones that find it. The few are the ones that follow God. We feel like we're the minority, right? Well, because God said we are, right? Pretty simple. We're fighting against Satan and all the many, 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 many people who are against God. But I like the Word of God when it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We might be the few, we might be the minority, but we have. I think of a tug-of-war rope thing, where they're tug-of-war, and God's our anchor, right? They're not going to win. They think they are, but they're not going to win. And so thank God that we have chose to get on His side. Not that He chose to get on our side, but we chose to get on His side. So this man of God was thoroughly furnished for every good work and every good word that he had to say and every good work he had to do. Those he preached to could not but perceive him to be full both of power and judgment, for they found both their understandings opened and their hearts made to burn within them. And such evidence and demonstration, and with such power, did the word come from him. And it should. We have the truth. We should be bold about it. Why are we so timid? Why are we so weak? Why are we afraid to tell people about the Word of God when we have the truth? We should be willing to shout it from the rooftops. We should be able to get it out to everybody. Because God's going to use that. He's going to penetrate hearts and He's going to change lives for the better. And those who refuse to change, they've hardened their hearts and they're not going to. We can't do anything about them. But let's not continue to encourage them to stay in their sin by giving these false sense of security that God is love and everybody goes to heaven. No, let's warn them. Let's give them the truth of the Word of God. Oh, too many people have told me over and over and over, God is the God of love, everybody goes to heaven, God would never send anyone to hell. All those stories that, well, guess what? God doesn't send anyone to hell. He allows them to continue on the path they're on after giving them a way of escape. They just choose not to take the way out. We need to continue to warn them. Continue to warn them and let them know that God, who is God of love, is also the God of judgment. All right, we're going to stop there due to lack of time now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word. Father, I pray that we would, each one of us, be faithful in sharing the truths of your word, not trying to deceive people, not trying to lead them astray by giving them a false sense of security, not giving them something that just tickles their ears, but the true word of God. Father, I pray as we tell them about the impending danger, also let's share the good news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where he came and died and rose again, that we could have eternal life. So, Father, we're looking forward to what you have for us in the upcoming service, and will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.